ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತಿರೋವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತಿರೋವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ
ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಶ್ವದರ್ಶನಿ ವೈನ್ ಭಕ್ತಿವಿಧಾನ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿಧಾನ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವರಿಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನಮ ಶಿಲಾ ಶಿಲ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಆಲ್ ಗುರು ಸಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗುರು ಸಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗುರು ಸಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅಂಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 11 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 19 ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ ದ ಪರ್ಫೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 26 ಯತ್ ಅರ್ಪಿತಂ ತತ್ ವಿಕಲ್ಪೆ ಇಂದ್ರಿಯೈ ಪರಿಧಾವತಿ ರಜಃಬಲಂ ಚ ಅಸತ್ ನಿಷ್ಠಾಂ ಚೇತಾಂ ವಿಧಿ ವಿಪರ್ಯಯಾಂ ಯದರ್ಪಿತಂ ತದ್ ವಿಕಲ್ಪೆ ಇಂದ್ರಿಯೈ ಪರಿಧಾವತಿ ರಜಸ್ವಲಂ ಚಾಸಂ ನಿಷ್ಠಂ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ವಿಧಿ ವಿಪರ್ಯಯಂ ಯದರ್ಪಿತಂ ತದ್ ವಿಕಲ್ಪೆ ಇಂದ್ರಿಯಾಯ ಪರಿಧಾವತಿ ರಜಸ್ವಲಂ ಚಾಸಂ ನಿಷ್ಠಂ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ವಿಧಿ ವಿಪರ್ಯಯಂ ಯದರ್ಪಿತಂ ತದ್ ವಿಕಲ್ಪೆ ಇಂದ್ರಿಯಾಯ ಪರಿಧಾವತಿ ರಜಸ್ವಲಂ ಚಾಸನ್ ನಿಷ್ಠಂ ಚೇತಂ ವಿಧಿ ವಿಪರ್ಯಯಂ ಯದಾರ್ಪಿತಂ ತದ್ ವಿಕಲ್ಪೆ ಇಂದ್ರಿಯಾಯ ಪರಿಧಾವತಿ ರಜಸ್ವಲಂ ಚಾಸನ್ ನಿಷ್ಠಂ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ವಿಧಿ ವಿಪರ್ಯಯಂ ಯದರ್ಪಿತಂ ತದ್ ವಿಕಲ್ಪೆ ಇಂದ್ರಿಯೈ ಪರಿಧಾವತಿ
ರಜಬಲಂ ತಾಸ ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ವಿಧಿ ವಿಪರ್ಯಯಂ ಯದರ್ಪಿತಂ ತದ್ ವಿಕಲ್ಪೆ ಇಂದ್ರಿಯೈ ಪರಿಧಾವತಿ ರಜಸ್ವಲಂ ಚಾಸ ನಿಷ್ಠಂ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ವಿಧಿ ವಿಪರ್ಯ ಲೇಡೀಸ್ ಯತ್ ವೆನ್ ಅರ್ಪಿತಂ ಫಿಕ್ಸ್ಡ್ ತತ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್ ವಿಕಲ್ಪೆ ಇನ್ ದ ಮಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ವೆರೈಟಿ ದ ಬಾಡಿ ಹೋಮ್ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ ಎಕ್ಸೆಟ್ರಾ ಇಂದ್ರಿಯೈ ವಿತ್ ದ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಪರಿಧಾವತಿ ಚೇಸಿಂಗ್ ಆಲ್ ಅರೌಂಡ್ ರಜಬಲಂ ಸ್ಟ್ರೆಂಥನ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ದ ಮೋಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ಯಾಷನ್ ಚ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಅಸತ್ ಟು ದಟ್ ವಿಚ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ನೋ ಪರ್ಮನೆಂಟ್ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ ನಿಷ್ಠಂ ಡೆಡಿಕೇಟೆಡ್ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್ ವಿಧಿ ಯು ಶುಡ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ವಿಪರ್ಯಯಂ ದಿ ಅಪೋಸಿಟ್ of what was mentioned previously. Translation and Prabhupada, the disciple of Srila Prabhupada. When consciousness is fixed on the material body, the home and other similar objects of sense gratification, one spends one's life chasing after material objects with the help of the senses. Consciousness, thus powerfully affected by the mode of passion, becomes dedicated to impermanent things, and in this way, irreligion, ignorance, attachment and wretchedness arise. Report. In the previous verse, Lord Krishna mentioned the auspicious results of fixing the mind on Him. And now, the opposite explained. Rajas Valam indicates that one's passion grows so strong that one commits sinful activities and reaps all types of misfortune. Although materialistic people are blind to their impending wretchedness, one can confirm by all types of evidence, namely Vedic injunctions, direct observation, traditional wisdom and inductive logic, that results of violating the laws of God is disastrous. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Krishna's timeless wisdom, the creator of all that exists, is mercifully instructing us today about the nature of the mode of passion. That is Krishna's subject of discussion. What are these modes? We talk about modes very often. We talk about in relation to food and many other things about the day. The morning is sattvaguna, afternoon is rajaguna, after sunset is beginning of tamaguna, late night is deep tamaguna. We talk about modes almost all the time. Various ways of understanding the modes. One way to look at the modes is the modes in this world, just like if we had this simple thing we should do in physics in school, that to understand the refraction of light. You just take a straight stick, a rod, and you put it in the water, then there will be it will not appear straight, it will appear bend. There will be a bend. And then you are supposed to, depend on the density of various liquids, water, this, that, the refraction of light coming from the outside and going through the liquid would create an angle between the surface and what is inside. So that angle was to be, you know, found out. What is the refractory angle? Right? That was. So, what does light do? it distorts. What does the liquid do? It distorts light. It is not even though it is transparent, water is transparent, and yet when light travels through water, and light travels through air is different. When it travels through water, because of the different medium, it distorts the object. So also, these modes distort reality. They distort reality. Reality of what is in, what is reality? The reality is what is there in the spiritual sky. That is the real world. The real world is from where we have come, right? And when things come in this world, depend on different densities created by sattva guna, raja guna, and tama guna. Different levels of distortion of that eternal reality will take place. So, in the mode of passion, the distortion is to feel that even though things are temporary, you tend to think that they are everlasting. That is the distortion. That is a very powerful distortion. That what is asat, grossly asat, is something which we want to chase as if it's really, really so important and it can give me long-lasting fulfillment, pleasure, satisfaction. To chase for short-term pleasures as if they were really, really so important, worthy of all my energy, my talents, my resources. To give all that for some short-term. And the mode of goodness, it allows you to see reality in a less distorted way. So you can start perceiving the concept of eternality only when in the mode of goodness. That life is continuous affair. Life is never interrupted. In the mode of passion also you perceive reality, eternality, but we understand the reality as interrupted reality. That means that like you have an ECG. The ECG, when you see there are waves, PQRS waves are there, right? So there is a wave, the straight, it's almost a straight line, and then again a wave, straight line. So this interrupted reality, the straight line is there, but it is not continuously straight. It is again interrupted by a wave, right? So also life is there, birth, old age, disease and death. Again some straight line is there in between, between two lives where we go through some sort of phenomena of, you know, reformation and some other planets, some hellish planets, wherever we go. And then again there is an interrupted line, interrupted of, again same thing, PQRS, birth or disease and death. And again there is interruption. So eternality is there, but it is always interrupted eternality. In the spiritual world, what is spiritual world? It is uninterrupted eternality. That's the difference. Eternality is perceived here also, but it's constantly in flux. It's getting interrupted by so many things. So, we can understand that the hankering is there. The hankering is there for all of us when you think of it psychologically, that there is a deep, deep, deep seated desire in our heart to experience permanency. Because we are permanent, we are not impermanent. You go to apply for a job. I can give this job only for 3 months, or for 1 week, or for 10 days. Who will take that job? And we wait for the day when you get permanent, you're on probation. 6 months you're on probation in most companies. You wait for the day when you get that letter. Now you're permanent. Of course, nothing is permanent, but at least that letter comes to you. You are permanent till they sack you, or you have a problem, you didn't perform well, or you get a pink slip, or the business crashes down and the merger takes place and whatever has happens. A big guy, big fish comes and eats a small fish and, you know, things change, management changes, the stocks crash down. So nothing is really permanent, but at least you wait for that sense of, oh, now I'm permanent. I'm permanent. Right?
Even as a new devotee, this example was given to me by my friend who would preach very nicely. He was also my classmate. So he would preach like this. He said, you tell the college friends. He said, imagine. And it's okay, imagine this. Imagine if I'm giving you a beautiful, luxurious car with all facilities, air conditioners. We're talking about air conditioners in cars when they were not there. In the 1980s, there were no air conditioners in the car, rarely. Now every car is air conditioned, even a nano car is air conditioned. So if you're talking about 80s, where there are no air conditioned cars to that extent. And so the air conditioned car, we have, you know, everything facility you want is there in the car. I'll give it to you. You don't have to buy it from me. I'll give it to you free. And it's gold plated, you know. Then he revealed out the interest of the student. Aisa, what are you trying to drive at? What are you saying? But then there's only one problem. I'll give it to you. And there's a time bomb inside. you drive, petrol is also free. You drive auto as you want. But in a time bomb is there, we don't know when it will explode. So will you take this? I suggest. Time bomb. So you make the point, understand that you have this nice car, this body which you are really having so many facilities of life, but there's a time bomb attached to it. When time bomb will explode, right? When you'll experience death? No astrologer can tell you. Nobody can tell you. No Bhrigu Samhita can tell you. Nobody can tell you when you'll experience death. It's all probabilities. Most likely, something. But 100%, nobody can say. Impermanency. So we are trying to enjoy in a state of impermanency. We are trying to enjoy that which is asat. There was a king who was tormented by the desires for this home, the body, and all objects of sense gratification. He was tormented by these intensified, it says the word, nishtham, dedicated to sense gratification. And you have dedicated to something, right? You are dedicated to what? Dedicated to sense enjoyment. So he knew that not something is a problem with him. I shouldn't be really attached to something, you know. And there is a problem if I keep on being attached to enjoying my senses. So he asked his wazir. He's a wise man. Wazirs are usually wise people. The king is usually the guy who's mischievous. But the wazirs are going to be telling him the right thing. He said, tell me something which will help me to get rid of my desire of sense gratification. So, okay, give me some time. I'll think about it and come. Give me a short formula, which will always remind me that life is, I should not be attached to gratification. And so he came the next day and said, my dear sir, I found the answer. It's a 5-worded sentence. That's all you need to remember in your life. Nothing else. The essence of all that you want to know in life is in 5 words. And if you understand these 5 words, you will always remain happy in your life. No matter what is your actual situation. No matter whether you get defeated, you have a lot of allies, you have this, you have a bodily problem, something is happening to you, is up and down. But if you understand these 5 words, you will never be unhappy. I said, I want to know this. I just that's what I wanted from you, my wazir. Please tell me. Wazir man said 5 words. Even this will pass away. 5 words. Even this will pass away. So if you only understand these 5 powerful words in your life, you will never ever be unhappy. You will never be bogged down by unhappiness, because you know, even this will pass away. And you are really externally happy, you are ecstatic, you are euphoric, you are just on the top of the town. You will remain sober, because you will know, even this will pass away. So, if you understand this simple wisdom, in this way, this kind wazir, who was a friend of the king, educated the king about the value of permanency, the value of eternality, the value of getting rid of the mode of passion, which actually makes you completely dedicated and absorbs your consciousness deeply into a state of impermanency. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know he went 14 January midnight, that very historical day, got up in the middle of the night at around 2 o'clock in the morning, and he left his home. He left his dear wife, Vishnupriya. He left his dear most mother, Sachi Mata, who was standing at the door, crying. He saw her son going, but she was not able to react to that. He just left to Nirdaya Ghat, swam across the Ganga, and he went to Katwa. At Katwa, there was a sense of intense urgency in the heart of Lord Chaitanya to take sannyas. His heart was tormented, and he was doing something which no other person in the world, no other avatar in the creation has ever done. To take sannyas at 24 from a widowed mother and from an angelic wife and thousands upon thousands of people who are willing to give their lives to him in Navadvip. This type of attachment is not experienced by anybody. But he was going to break this attachment, break the hearts of so many people who are practically going to die without his presence. And yet, he did that for the world, for you and for me, to take sannyas, to give us Harinam. He went to the ashram of Kesha Bharati Maharaj in Katwa, and this was his mood. Said, Kesha Bharati Maharaj, you please give me sannyas. I want to become just like you. Yamadeva was shocked. Such a young man, beautiful hair, curly, cascading across his shoulders. His figure, threefold, beautiful form. How can you take sannyas? I said, what is your history? What is your background? I told him, this is my background. I said, what will happen to your widowed mother? And your wife, she was very small that time. She was, I think, 16 years old. Right? Still, I cannot give sannyas. And Mahaprabhu spoke about this philosophy. He spoke about this concept. Said, life is so short. I can die anytime. If you tell me to take sannyas, because Shobhana was saying, you take sannyas afterwards, you know, after 50, you know, the Shastra says that. No, Shastra doesn't say to take a sannyas at 24. What is this, you know, what kind of infatuation you are having right now to sannyas? You wait for some time, go and have family life, and you know, do your routine, whatever the expert, the Varnasham Dharma, you come at after 50, we will do. Take sannyas. That's improper. That is as per in the line of what is given. Said, I can die anytime. And if I die, then I will lose my golden chance. Right? So you please don't go by all this philosophy. I just cannot believe this. Life is so impermanent. So Mahaprabhu strongly advocated this understanding of the temporary nature of life to use it for achieving the permanent. Devotees acknowledge impermanency of life, but they did not become pessimistic about it. Kya abhi sab to khatam hone wala hi hai. Kuch to hai nahi life mein. This is derogatory, this is negative. Devotees are not pessimistic. Kya karne ka zarurat hai sab? Ek din to marna hi hai. So this is what a frustrated materialist will talk. One who has frustrated his desires. He lost his job, lost his wife maybe, you know, lost his... He lost something big in his life, big loss. Kya abhi sab, theek hai. So this is a frustrated person speaking. He's not a philosopher. He's a frustrated materialist. So devotees don't talk this language. And because this is... In devotees' language, there is no pessimism. There's always optimism and positivity. That's a Vaishnava. Right? He understands fully the impermanency of life, but uses that fully for achieving the permanent, the eternal. It's how amazing is that when you're in the mode of goodness, that how we pursue permanency with such dedication. Haven't we heard example? There's an extreme example. Extreme example. I think the most extreme example in this on this concept of permanency and impermanency about Lomas Rishi, right? Lomas Rishi, I think he had this benediction that he would have a lifetime equal to where one hair falls from his body. What is that? One kalpa, right? His life would be when hair falls, his life will be shorter by one kalpa. And then two hair falls, two kalpas. And three hairs fall, three kalpas. And they said in the scripture, he was a very hairy person. He's a very hairy person. So as hair were falling, you know, so you can imagine his life. What is he supposed to live like? He's like supposed to live for practical eternality, right? Is it not? From our conception of 70, 80, 90 years, and talking about kalpa, that ratio of a kalpa divided by, you know, the ratio of 70, 80 is like 0.001. It's almost insignificant. Our life is insignificant. Come to that ratio, right? And he was having that lifetime. He was benediting Brahma. Usually Brahma gives such life. So I guess Brahma must have done it. He must have given this benediction to him. And then he was living on the seashore. And he had no house. He had no house. He was living under trees, like a Goswami. And someone came to him and said, Swamiji, Babaji, you know, at least why don't you make a house for yourself? You know, it's rain and shelter and all this vagaries of material nature. You make a house at least and do your bhajan, tapasya, meditation, what you're doing. And what was his answer? Why waste time in making a house? Life is so short. This is an extreme example. I can never believe how somebody can see like this. You know, this is tremendously impossible to understand, right? But that's what an exalted person can see. If you go higher in consciousness, as we say, the example we all know, when you go higher in consciousness in the plane, you start seeing the world smaller. Your house is so important for you, and everything in your house is very important for you. Every wall and every chandelier and every whatever is the carpet, right? Every tap is important. Right? Everything is important for you in life because, you know, you're decorating it and you want to just be like this, just be like that. But when you go in a plane and you start going riser, zoop, the moment it takes off, within 5 seconds, literally 5 seconds, you're already like several feet high. And within a minute, you're already way beyond, you know, what you can even see, what any building. In 5 minutes, you're just up there, correct? In just 5 minutes, you see reality for what it is. Everything becomes just so insignificant and small. So as consciousness develops higher and higher and higher, things become smaller and smaller and smaller. As the consciousness becomes narrower, it doesn't expand. It becomes, as consciousness expands, narrows down, you start seeing things bigger. And as consciousness expands, this is a law of physics. Transcendental law of physics. As consciousness expands, you start seeing smaller. And as consciousness narrows down, it's called sankuchit. The consciousness has got 5 stages. At the bud stage and flowering stage. So this is called a sankuchit avastha. In sankuchit avastha, when your consciousness is narrowed down, you start seeing things that are not important, very big and important. And when you fully blossomed in a consciousness, right? Fully evolved, then you start things with, oh, this is not important. This also will go away. Right? So that's what it is. So Mahaprabhu was adapted to this philosophy. A similar thing also, so this concept of eternality is so beautiful because eternality understanding has a power to redeem people of misery. The moment we understand, we not realize, but even just understand the concept of eternality with some sense of conviction. Yes. Jatasehi dhruvam mrityur, dhruvam janam mrutasya cha. Makes sense to me. We understand this concept. So two examples come in the Bhagavatam, which tell us these things. The death of Chitrakuta Mahadas' son, Harshashoka, and the death of Srivast Thakur's son. Both are similar examples which are given in the scriptures just to highlight this understanding of eternality. How much was the sorrow of Chitrakuta Maharaj? How much? Powerful king of the planet, he must be able to carry arms and weapons and fight on elephants and kill millions of soldiers, right? Such was the Kshatriya power. But when he heard the news of his son's death, he couldn't carry his body. He was going up to his son and he was seeing he's dead and get the news that your son is dead. Your son is dead. Harshashoka is no more. And he couldn't just walk. He was walking, standing up, crying, sobbing, grief-stricken, falling. Again climbing, crawling practically, standing up, crying, falling. He was in a complete ocean of lamentation. He couldn't just hold himself. And look at his state of sorrow. All the ministers were crying. Kritiduti was crying. And other millions of wives were pretending to cry. Because they had done it. So they knew they knew what's happening. But he was in an ocean of lamentation. And from that ocean, there is no way the king could have been saved from that ocean of lamentation. What is the remedy? What is the balm? What is the soothing ointment for somebody who is crying, whose world has crashed? His whole world was sankuchit into this child's presence. The whole kingdom, his whole existence, his whole, everything about his life, past, present and future, was concentrated into the presence of this child. That's it. That was his life. Total sankuchit. So Narad Muni and Paramahansa could understand that there is no way of helping this person. No philosophy can work. No Bhagavatam class will work. No Jeevas Day will work here. Nothing will work. It's only when the child speaks. The person who is given the topmost misery, only when he speaks, what of wisdom? Because he's going to listen only not to us, not from scripture, not what Krishna said, what Brahma said, what he said, what they said, what Mahajan said. He cannot understand all this. The one who has given the pain, when he speaks, he will understand. So let's bring him back to life. The great souls know the trick. What, whom to speak and how to speak, and they call Patra, they know all this perfectly well. As a child, please get up. We left a father and mother in lamentation. Get up. I think Narad Muni touched his heart. Zip. There you are, this five-year-old child just rose from the dead, back to life. Why did you go away leaving your parents' home? And when the child, Harshashoka, spoke philosophy, he spoke the same thing. That I am eternal. I've had thousands of parents. They may be one of them. But I really don't belong to any parent in particular. But a soul has gone through so much of parenting by so many souls in every species of life. And as part of my destiny now, I am just moving on to my next place where my Lord has decided me to be. Right? Srivast Thakur-san also, lamentation among the wives and the wife and the people inside Srivast Thakur's home. Lamentation was there. The child spoke philosophy. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam scriptures, immediately their hearts were pacified. Why? Because they were Chakshur Unmilitam Yena. Their eyes were opened. They could understand the soul never dies. The soul is always eternally existent. Na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sataha. Ubhayorapi drintostas, tonayusata darshibi. When you become tattva darshi, you start seeing darshi, darshan, when you start seeing tattva, truth, right? Then it has the power to destroy all lamentation. So much of lamentation which we have in life can simply be overcome if we truly understand asato ma sadgamaya. And until we don't understand this, till we don't realize this, till we are not convinced about our own existence, that I am a spirit soul, am Brahmasmi, and I will never die. My parents will never die. My loved ones will never die. No one in the world dies. Death is an illusion. Death is a complete illusion. Inasmuch as birth is an illusion, they don't really exist for the soul. The soul is never affected by birth, is not affected by death. He is beyond birth and he is beyond death. That was the book Prabhupada published at the beginning. We used to read in the beginning in 90s. Beyond birth and death. The soul is beyond birth, the soul is beyond death. Right? When we understand this deeply in our life, then we become peaceful. Shanta. There is no other, we cannot attain peace, just peace by just meditating and doing pranayama and anulom vilom and all. All that is superficial. Some temporary feeling of good feeling of some sort of peace. That it is, peace is not so easy just by breathing up and down, kumbhak rechak. That's not what it is. Right? There's far more to peace than just kumbhak and rechak. Unless you understand knowledge, tattva darshi is what is required, not just pranayam. It may be a tool which we can use to pacify our minds, but it's not the ultimate formula for peace. Until you don't understand that, you don't understand the temporariness of this world, Pramana says, Sada samudvigna dhyam asadgrahat. If anyone, devotee, non-devotee, till they not understand this with conviction, sada, always, what will happen to him? Samudvigna dhyam. His intelligence will be always be disturbed. So when we are disturbed, because we take it's very simple why we are disturbed. We look at it from the point of view of scripture. We only disturbed when we give too much importance to temporary things. We must give importance to temporary things, not that we should not give. But when we become too much important, too much absorbed in temporary things, we get disturbed. And we just give due amount of importance that is necessary, but move on with the eternality. Don't get too bogged down with the temporary, but keep on moving with the eternality. My soul, my purification of consciousness, my understanding, my evolution of my consciousness, that's more important than the here and now. That is there. That's going to happen by the laws of karma in any case. The law of karma will unfold in due course of time, in terms of happiness or distress. That's not in my control in any case. But how am I going to react to that unfolding of my karma is in my complete control. Because I am consciousness. I am beyond karma. So if I am in knowledge, when the karma strikes me with ups and downs, right, good and bad, right and wrong, auspicious and inauspicious, when all these things happen to me, duality will strike me, then with the eye of evolved knowledge, I will not remain disturbed. Then, shanta. This is one of the important qualities of the soul. One of the 20 qualities of the soul of the Vaishnava is, he is shanta. Right? So Prabhupada was like that. So much was going bad in his life. Opposition, criticism, attacks. So much was going on. But he never gave up. He was always peaceful. Peaceful, not that he is not thinking about those things, but his peaceful means that he is still determinedly going on with what he is supposed to do. The things that are going on is wrong in his life. So they may be creating some superficial ripples in his consciousness. Right? But when he says shanta, means on the deeper side, on the lower side, like an oceanic heart, keeps on moving forward towards the goal of his life. Right? And so I think that's what we want to do. We want to pray, we want to meditate, we want to think deeply, think very deeply about this understanding of permanency of life, that I am eternal. Right? And the process of Krishna consciousness is simply to bring us back to eternal life. Right? Eternal life is waiting for all of us. It is something which is so close to us now. Right? Because we already have taken the path. and the road is also very clear. We just keep walking on this road within no time. If we just do the right things, the way we are, spiritual masters have taught us, and the gates of eternality will open for us, and we will experience uninterrupted eternal existence with Sri Radha and Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, any comments? Srila Prabhupada ki. Okay, one question. Yeah.
In case of in case of Chitraketu Maharaj, he had that fortune of getting association of great sages like Narad Muni, and he got this realization immediately in that span of his life. But for us, it's so difficult to get that kind of experience and immediately understand ki this is what I have to do and take full shelter of this process of Krishna consciousness. So how to get that kind of experience?
Experience.
Conviction.
That experience is very heavy. I think we should not pray for experience. It's too heavy. But that chapter is so important for us. Right? Sixth canto. Chitakana Maharaj's lamentation. I think that's the name of the chapter. So for a sadhaka, when he goes through this sort of tormenting of his consciousness by external events which are beyond our control, then we open this chapter even more. When somehow we become more receptive to Krishna consciousness when a heart is in trouble, is it not true? In good times, we have philosophy said, yeah, sounds good. Yeah, good philosophy. You know, so it's more like that. It's more like an intellectual gratification. But actually, we don't start really seriously applying that philosophy till we actually go through trying times. Right? For example, when my mother was in Jaslok Hospital, 19 years ago, and she was having some terminal disease she was struggling with, and she was there for several days, 40 days, and she went through major surgeries and all that, and being the person who was attending to her, I had to deal with the situation medically, philosophically and emotionally. And therefore, when she was on the last stage of her life, which was difficult for me to absorb, that reality that she will be no more, a matter of few days, it was a point of no return, then actually I opened the Bhagavad Gita. It's a book which I don't read every day, but I think about often. But I don't read it every day. It's not my regular book of study. But I opened the Gita and I knew the answer would be there in the second chapter. Right? I had no Narad Muni next to me. I had no Parvat Muni next to me. I had nobody. But I had Prabhupada next to me. I had Prabhupada's words next to me. And I had purports next to me, which are easily accessible. They just are waiting to speak to me if I opened them with a rightful attitude. And then I was reading the second chapter, and then when I read the words, Avinashi tu tadvidhi, yanasvaram idam tatam. That word Avinashi just hit me so strongly. That one word was enough to pacify my heart completely. Mother will not die. She is Avinashi. She will not die. I don't have to worry. So well, because I was obviously, you know, emotionally tormented, you are just absorbed in the body. Said, my mother is going to die now. How am I supposed to react to this reality now? That I didn't expect she would die so soon. She's going to leave her body. But when you get this word Avinashi, wow, Krishna spoke to me. Prabhupada spoke to me. Said, she's not going to die. She's going through her phase. And as I meditate on this word Avinashi, my heart rate, my pulse, my BP, everything came to normal. Right? So I think we have so much data, information, philosophy, realized version of, not just dry philosophy, but realized philosophy. None of the books are written by people who are just like philosophers, just writing something to print something. These are all people who spoke it, wrote it, are realized people. They are self-realized. Right? So when you hear them, Krishna will speak. Krishna will speak through them. So when you open the Srimad Bhagavatam, the parampara speaks to us. Krishna, our merciful Lord, speaks to us. Provided we are having all that we need at that time is only one thing. When we hear philosophy, when we read philosophy, we need only one attribute. What is that? We need a receptive heart. That's it. If the hearts are not receptive, like a wall, philosophy hits you and it bounces back. Like in the heart surface, sound waves come and they get reflected back. When the heart is receptive, then it doesn't reflect back, it goes in. Okay? So I think we need to have a receptive heart. And if you have a receptive heart at most times, if not all times, then it will be easier to deal with the eventualities when they really come. But if we don't, are not very receptive, maybe a little more difficult. But we know what the right thing to do. We'll take shelter of Sri Guru, the sadhus, and the holy scriptures. We take shelter of these things, I'm sure, no matter what the trauma, no matter what the tribulation, there will be a solution for us.
जी जैसे आपने अभी एक राजा की कहानी बताई कि राजा की कहानी में जो उनका जो हुजूर होता है उनको उन्होंने राजा ने पूछा कि भाई इंद्र तृप्ति करना है तो मुझे अच्छा कुछ ये बताओ तो उनका जो सर्वंट था सर्वंट ने बताया कि आप 5 शब्द याद रखो ये सब चला जाएगा तो ये जो है ये सब चला जाएगा ये पूरा संसार को मालूम है ये सब चला जाएगा जब जैसे कि स्मशान वैराग्य होता है कि जब हम किसी को स्मशान में जाते हैं उस समय में हमें पता है कि हमको एक दिन जाना है लेकिन जब स्मशान से बाहर आता है तो वही कार्य हम करते हैं तो उसी प्रकार से हम जब मतलब भागवत कथा में बैठे हैं भक्तों के बीच में बैठे हैं कुछ आध्यात्मिक कथा में जुड़े हैं हमें पता है आई एम नॉट बॉडी आई एम ओनली हर सोल तो ये सब होते हुए भी जब हम उस संगत से बाहर जाते हैं और जब हमारा मटेरियल एक्टिविटीज हम करते हैं तो हम भूल जाते हैं कि जैसा क्षण विकार हमारे ऊपर तुरंत आ जाते हैं काम क्रोध लोभ मद मच्छर तब हम भूल जाते हैं कि मैं डिवोटीज हूँ मैं कथा सुनता हूँ मैं जाप करता हूँ तो जब सब जैसा संधि आती है काम की संधि आती है तो तुरंत हम सोचते हैं कि यार कौन देख रहा है हमको जैसे लोभ की संधि आती है तो यार ले लो ना कौन देख रहा तो ये छेड़ी विकार तुरंत हमारे कब्जे पे हमारा शरीर पे मतलब कब्जा कर लेता है तो उस समय में हम कैसा उस स्थिति से मतलब बाहर आ सकते हैं
ग्रेजुअल प्रोसेस है एटलीस्ट इतना तो कह सकते हैं कि जहां पर थे उतना तो गिरे हुए नहीं है अभी हम अगर हम हमारी 5 साल की पास्ट लाइफ देख लें 10 साल की देख लें 15 साल की लाइफ देख लें कैसे थे और कैसे हैं फर्क है फर्क है नहीं है देयर आर लॉट ऑफ डिफरेंसेस देयर सो इफ देयर हैज बीन अ डिफरेंस बिटवीन माय पास्ट लाइफ फ्रॉम दैट पॉइंट ऑफ बिगिनिंग वेयर आई वाज इन टोटल माया कंप्लीट इल्यूजन एंड डिल्यूजन एंड फ्रॉम दैट पॉइंट 1 और पॉइंट 0 एंड नाउ आई थिंक ऑल ऑफ अस विल अटेस्ट देयर इज अ चेंज And that change is our evidence of the viability of the process. Right? The process is working because I was A, B, C, and D. These are my habits, these are my attitudes, these are my inclinations, this is my interest, this is what I was. This is my personality. I was so different. Right? But from there I have come here. And there is a significant change in the way I think, feel, talk, behave, dress, eat, lifestyle. Completely different. So if that is what has happened to me with this level of commitment, whatever commitment I have given, if I give it even more commitment to the process, then can I expect a bigger change? Answer is obviously a big yes. Right? A big yes. That even though I have still my shortcomings, as you are rightly saying, no doubt, we all, what you are saying is common to all of us, that we have our weak spots in our life. When we slip, we make wrong decisions, we think wrongly, behave wrongly, talk wrongly, right? But we know that our faith still is not disturbed. That if I still stick to the path, I am definitely getting purified. That's our conviction. The process works. What is lacking is not the process is lacking. What's lacking is my application of the process into my life. My dedication, my commitment, and my complete transparent sincerity to the process. Right? When you say sincerity means, I only want Krishna. I don't want material consciousness. That is sincerity. But for most of us, because we are mixed type of devotees, we want something here, something there, some Krishna consciousness here, a little bit of material enjoyment there, some here, some there, as they say, best of both worlds. And we are not willing to lift our leg, our leg is in two boats. We are not willing to lift that leg and put our leg into the transcendental boat. Yada pada palava plavam. Mahatpadam punyesho murari. That plavam is a boat of the lotus feet of Krishna. When we really get faith in the process, then we are willing to lift even the second leg and put the second leg also in the leg, in the boat of the lost lotus feet. Then that plavam, that boat, will take us across cycle of birth and death, right? So it is just means that we need to become more and more convinced. What is lacking is not that we are not chanting, we are not reading, we are doing all these things, but we need to do it with more absorption, with more conviction, with more of the desire to actually get purified from all these, as we said, delusions, or what we can say, as I said at the beginning, distortion of consciousness. Distortion of consciousness. The more we really become sincere, the more the consciousness becomes straightened up, and you will start seeing things ultimately as they are. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.